Hey y'all, it's Alante, and you're listening to Black and in Grad School, the podcast that helps women and people of color like you excel in this journey. If you're listening, I believe you are an aspiring or current scholar who wants to successfully navigate this process. By sharing my experience while pursuing my PhD and interviewing other Black graduate students or early career professionals, it is my hope that you can glean encouragement, advice, and strategies that you can apply to your journey. Thanks for listening. Welcome back. And this week, we are going to continue our conversation about organization, as I know a lot of you have questions about that and what does that look like in graduate school. Spring break is probably over for most of us now, but that doesn't mean that you can't be thinking about organization or just reflecting on it. You don't have to make a change right this moment, but now it's in your mind to think about, is this working for me and do I need to change something up for the summer? Which I hope you do, because the summer, I hope you're not working through Sundays inside in your office in the summer. At least go work outside. The very least we could do to treat ourselves, right? I do want to keep going on with our conversation. So last week, in last week's episode, I talked about how I organize my days. And I was telling you that this week I was going to talk about how I organize my computer and my physical space and what that looks like now. So here's how I organize my computer and my paper stuff. So I'm kind of a hybrid of organized by semester and then by project. And so when I say that, I mean every school year I make a new folder called like year one, year two. And then within that folder, I have a folder that says spring and fall. And then the classes have the folder inside of that folder and then it's organized that way. That way I can find stuff like quicker, kinda. But there are some things that have a thread throughout all of that time, like my research, which has its own folder. So I have a research folder and I have my first paper. It has its own folder. My second paper has its own folder. And then my third will have its own paper. Have its own folder. And then I have other projects I work on outside of school, but are still related to my work. And so then they have their own folder as well. And they're, you know, projects. And then of course the podcast has its own folder with literally so many subfolders. It's probably ridiculous because it's like the podcast and inside the podcast is 2017, 2018, now 2019, guest pictures, you know, blah, 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 graphics, all that jazz. So that's how I try to organize my work. That's the only way. And honestly, a lot of times everything's sitting in my downloads folder. What can I say? Even though I cleaned it this year and that felt great, and I'm going to try and do that like every semester at least. But a lot of stuff is in my downloads folder. It doesn't look as bad as it used to, but it's still pretty bad. That is kind of how I manage my work. Now, the thing about me is that I am a tactile learner. And so I have to do a lot of handwritten notes, a lot of handwriting to get my ideas and thoughts and what I understand out of my brain. When I try to do it at a computer first, it just doesn't go as well. I kind of almost get writer's block. And it's so funny because, you know, last week I was saying like, don't try to fight, you know, your own tendencies, just work with them. Don't work against them. And that is something that this whole fact that I have to like first write and then type bothers me. Oh my gosh. It bothers me so much. And I know that being bothered by it does not change it. That's the thing, right? Cause sometimes I still try to like force myself to just work on the computer first. But then I know after a while, if I'm getting stumped, the moment I put my hand, pen to paper, flows, it's crazy. And even what I do now versus like forcing myself to like try to write on a computer, I start a lot of my writing practice, my daily writing practice, with a notebook open. And even if I just start writing on paper, that'll actually help me more quickly get to typing. Like if I just jot down a couple thoughts, then I can like expand on those thoughts in my computer and in electronic notes. But I don't know, y'all. I have to do that. And so because of that, I do keep like an entire pack of scrap paper. Like, just like I just buy a pack of paper and I just replace it when it runs out. And when I need to think about something, I just grab a page. And that's what I did last year and this year sometimes. But the issue becomes, and then I just put it in a folder. Like, I just have like a folder called like Spring 2019 Research. Okay, that is really not an actual it's not actual organization, but it's like semi-organized because at least I know where everything is. Like, okay, I did it this time of the year, so it's in this folder. But it's not that great. And so what I now do is buy a bounded notebook. Like, I buy like a big lab notebook, so it's like an 8x10 page notebook. And I jot down all of my notes, my school notes, research notes, meeting notes, you know, all of those notes go into that notebook. And I tried this last semester and literally I used one notebook and it lasted me the entire semester because I don't do that much writing, but I do enough writing. And so I'm like, okay, this really works. And so this semester I ordered another notebook of the same size and I haven't even used it as much. So it'll probably last me through the summer because I'm not in classes, but it helps me to have a notebook, but it also keeps me from losing stuff. Cause what happens with these like weird folders I have is I'll have like little stacks of paper that are they don't have any date. They just have like random scribbles on them or my thoughts where I've jotted them down and it's not cute. And I'm like, usually when I'm writing a paper, I'm like just spreading them out, trying to figure out what's important, what I need. And it gets frustrating for me. So I'm like, why am I doing this to myself? At least if it's in a notebook, it's like you just flip the pages. It's not nearly as annoying. And what I can then do is use post-it tabs to like color code stuff. So if I am like writing and I know like this notebook has X, Y, and Z, as I find it, I can just tab it. And that way it'll make it easy next time I need to go find it. So that's kind of my approach now is I have one notebook and I don't lose as much information. Like I don't accidentally throw stuff away because I definitely don't like clutter. So I'll like throw away a bunch of paper and it's like, oh, I probably threw away the one paper with that mind map from that one project. That gets frustrating, but I'm not going to throw away a notebook. And then I'll just start to keep these notebooks and date them, keep a little label on them so I can keep track of what I've been doing. So that's like my approach. Now, when it comes to my literature, which we all have, right? We have probably a buttload of PDFs of all of our documents, all of these journal articles we're reading, models, et cetera, et cetera. What I do with all of those, for a minute when I first started my program, I was trying to print them out and highlight and do all that because the tactile thing, I still care about our environment. I want to leave some resources for my great, great grandchildren. So I have stopped doing that. Do what works for you. What I now do is, again, with my notebook, take notes and just write the name of the article at the top of my notes and then jot my notes down so I know what article it comes from. And then I transfer it to something electronic like my note-taking system, which I also am going to make available on the website. Right now, it's just sitting on my YouTube page. So that is like how I kind of keep my notes organized as I read. And then I sometimes will make a different form for each project. But if I don't, I at least when it's time for me to start citing my papers, I go to my note spreadsheet with all of my notes. And then I see which highlight the ones I want to keep. And then I go and cross-reference that with my Zotero, which is a citation manager that I use. Use whichever one works best for you. And then I create a new folder for that particular paper. So I'll say like, right now I have like an ethics paper. So it's ethics paper. And then all the articles that are related that I have notes on that I now know are relevant, and I'm going to use in my paper, I'm actually going to cite, I put them into the folder. And that way that helps me when it comes to my writing. Because I use that folder to, export a BibTeX file for LaTeX. So that is how I handle my, kind of organize my space as it relates to like my digital space, not my physical space. This is not even an organization point, honestly, but what I would suggest is that you get an external monitor or an additional monitor. They help, especially if you're only using a laptop, from the strain of looking at a laptop all the time. You just need a bigger screen. And this might be an issue for us graduate students who are a little older, because I promise you, my eyes, I have to take breaks now. I know it, and I don't try to fight it, that sometimes looking at my laptop too long, I'm squinting and it's no good. I have to make sure I zoom in on stuff and all of that. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm getting older. But I guess that's what less than 30 days to 30, you know, does to you. So that is kind of what that's the first thing about my physical space that I feel like I know. Personally, I believe in having spaces that make you comfortable but productive. So my desk at home is spacious, and I have two monitors. So I have a triple monitor with my laptop when I'm working at my home office. And then I just have like all of my little things I need, my sticky pads, my tabs for taking care of my like tabbing pages and books and my notebooks, highlighters, pens. I personally live and breathe for Sharpie pens. I love Sharpie pens. I'm left-handed and that smear is not cute. Like, I'm grown. So I really like Sharpie pens. I don't have that issue. And they also, I like the way, like, it's like a marker pen. It's like a marker pen, but not that smear. So that's why I really like those. And I'm trying to think. I don't really have like files. Like I told you all about my really janky folder situation, which really isn't great, which is why I stopped doing it. I use the notebooks. And then my space in my office on campus, I have another external monitor there. And I will say, one, it depends on your field. But if you have a fellowship, typically your fellowship has some money set aside for professional needs or travel, or like kind of like this kind of like non immediate research kind of resources. And so you can ask your advisor to purchase a monitor. I mean, I wouldn't say like go and get like some $500 monitor. I think my monitor was like maybe $100. And then the one I have in my house, I got off of Amazon for like $60. And then my mom gave me a monitor from her job, because they could give them away because they got new monitors because she works from home. So I inherited a monitor, you know, so I'm not spending a bunch of money on monitors. But the one on campus, I did not pay for it. It came out of my like professional or like, you know, non-research funds from my funding. So that's a little quick note and hint that if you are like, okay, yeah, $100 is cool, I need a monitor, but who got $100? The school does. Got you. So yeah, that is kind of like, I have a monitor in my house. I have a monitor at home, I have a monitor on campus. And then I have pens and napkins, and like, I keep a couple little snacks too, because sometimes your girl gets hangry. And then I have a couple books and then pictures and affirmations. I don't have like a file cabinet or anything. I mean, I have a file cabinet, but there's nothing in there. There's like another set. No, there's another pack of paper for my scrap note taking. And that's really it. You know, I don't care. I used to have binders in undergrad. Like, I used to get big 3-inch binders and have a binder for the entire semester, all my work in it, all my notes. And it worked for me then. I was also 20 and 21 and 22 and 23. I am no longer that age. And I no longer have that many notes. And my book bag isn't that big anymore. My book bag is cute. Minky blue, you know. And I mean, it could fit it. But then I couldn't fit, like, the rest of my stuff. So, yeah, there really isn't much, now that I think about it, to my physical space as far as organization goes. But to me, just making sure it's comfortable and functional is important. So I'm a taller woman. I have longer limbs, and so was my mother. So she had this like huge desk that we've had like as long as I can remember. I mean, literally, I think I remember that desk when I was like 10 and 11 and 12. So I moved that with me to Pittsburgh, and it's like, I think it's almost like 50 inches and it's about 30 inches deep. So it's a pretty big glass desk, but it's really been helpful because that's my desk at home. And then I took the chair too, and so I'm comfortable. You know, that chair actually isn't great, but it works. It was free $99. I don't believe in, you know, overspending. I'm in school. I have to be realistic about my budget. But that's kind of how I've set up my space, my two spaces. And so in the realm of organization, it's like making sure you have your planner, pens and stuff you like, a lunchbox, a nice book bag that you like, and the little supplies you need for writing, you know, if you need highlighters. Because I do have highlighters for, like, when I'm taking notes, even my written notes, I need to highlight stuff in my notes that I wrote, stuff like that. So that's kind of what I do. Oh, one last piece that is absolutely critical for me and something I do suggest, like, that I feel like everyone needs, even if you're not in school, is a whiteboard. I have a huge whiteboard in my room that I use to just kind of keep track of, like, things I need to get done. And I just jot stuff down. And then I have a little one that goes in my office at home. But right now it's actually, I mean, my office at school, but right now it's at home, that when I need to do mind maps and I don't want to waste paper, or I just need, like, more space to think, I have a marker and I just go crazy on the board and I start writing and, you know, figuring stuff out. I have like a little, like a smaller one that's portable. And I have my big one mounted to my wall where I'll write a bunch of stuff out. If I get stumped on something and I need to stand up or I need to just be active, it kind of helps me with thinking through. So that is definitely another piece I would add to your list, is a whiteboard. Definitely want to do that. If that's your style. So those are the items. The thing that I would say about the items that you purchase, another thing I found out about myself is that when I have a certain level of quality to my products and my items, I'm more apt to use them. So my Sharpie pens, you know, I think I can buy a pack on Amazon for like $12 to $15 of like 12 to 15 pens. I also like colorful pens because it makes it more interesting while I'm writing if it's in purple or pink or green versus just blue or black. So I buy colored pens. The lab notebooks I use, they're like really nice. They don't like it doesn't bleed through if I use a Sharpie pen, because if I like almost do like a redaction of my own notes or whatever, you know, I can use a regular Sharpie marker. That type of stuff matters to me. I don't know why, but I just find that I'm more likely to use them. My planners, they come in different colors now. So I have different colors. I'm like, oh, well, once I'm done with the orange one, I can use my purple one, you know, et cetera. So that might also help. You know, I know sometimes it's like, oh, I don't want to invest because what if I don't use it? But like, if just the excitement sometimes of a new product will make you use it, right? Or like if it's pretty, you'll want to use it. And I think making an investment in something that you want to commit to isn't a bad idea. I would really encourage it because it's like, this is something that I want to do, something that's important to me. I want to be excited about it. You don't get excited when everything is plain. So, you know, like I just try to buy cute stuff because it makes me more excited about what I'm doing. Period. You know, I wish that it took more. I guess, you know, if you feel like I should have been more sophisticated, or I think I should be more sophisticated with it, it's fine. I'm okay with it. But I do spend a little bit more money on my products, but I don't buy as many also because of that. So it's like, okay, I only need like one or two notebooks. I only need a pack of pens. I only need, you know, some highlighters. I only need one whiteboard, you know, that's this huge whiteboard, etc. And it's stuff that I like and I constantly use. Like I love my Sharpie pens. I also keep better track of my pens because I spent so much freaking money on them versus like, you know, a pack of dollar pens from the dollar store. So, you know, invest in what it is you're trying to create. You know, buy a planner that you like. Now, I still urge you to be, you know, smart about it. Don't go buy a $200 planner But, you know, buy one that you think you might like and see if it works for you. I have used Passion Planner before. I made the mistake and bought a dated one. And I told you my challenge with the dated one in the last episode. I've also been very curious about Day Designer, but it's very big and it's too bulky for me, but they're really cute, like so, so cute. And there's also like a PhD planner that's out, and there are just a couple other planners. So just something to consider. There's also digital planners too. One website I miss so much is Sunrise. That used to be such an amazing calendar interface, but unfortunately it was acquired by Microsoft and they just didn't give it its justice inside of Outlook. But that was definitely like a super tangent, and I think I'm going to stop talking now. I hope this was useful for you. Now we've talked about being organized with our time, and we've talked about being organized with our space. I don't know if there's anything else we can talk about being organized about, but I hope this was useful for you. Next week, we'll have another episode from a really amazing artist. I am so excited. I really want to talk to you all and explore the graduate school experience for all different types of programs. You know, we're going to be talking with an MFA student who just has like the most amazing mantras and mindset in his approach to grad school. So I'll talk to you next week. And remember, grad school is tough, but you're tougher. Bye. Thanks again for listening to this episode of Blackin' in Grad School. For more content to help you on your grad school journey, check out blackingradschool.com. That's blkingradschool.com. Love this episode? Head over to Apple Podcasts to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. It's very much appreciated. Until next time.